بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have hadith of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, with us today, which we will begin with from Umdatul Ahkam, regarding how the Qibla was changed. So hadith number 68, who would give us the honor to read it? The brother there.
Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported, as the people were praying the dawn prayer, subh, at Quba, a man came to them and said, it has been revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the night, and he has been directed to turn towards the Kaaba. So they turned towards it. Their faces were towards Sham. So they turned around towards Kaaba, Sahih Muslim.
This hadith is referring to an incident. Before, when the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca, he used to face Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, because this is how he was instructed by Allah. However, he used to put the Kaaba between him and Jerusalem, so he would be facing both. And they had no problem. They used to offer prayer like this. When they traveled to Medina and found that the Jews also pray to Jerusalem, and they started saying that, look, the Muslims are mimicking us, they're imitating us, they don't have their own religion, they're following us. The Prophet ﷺ did not like this, because his heart was always towards Al-Kaaba, which is the foundation that was set by Ibrahim, his grandfather, peace be upon them all. So he used to go out and he used to look at the heavens, waiting for a revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal, as Allah described that to us in the Quran. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, that we can see. You're turning your face here and there, and we shall give you a qibla that you will be satisfied with. So finally, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to him that you have to face the Qibla. And that was before Fajr prayer. One of the companions who heard this verse went to Quba. And we know that Quba is one of the important masjids in Islam. Masjid Quba. We know that praying two rak'ahs in it is equivalent to Umrah. And that is why most of the people who visit Medina, when they're going out or when they're coming in, they pray two voluntary rak'ahs to attain and to get this great reward. So the man went there, and as you know, Mecca is to the south of Medina, while Asham and Palestine and Jerusalem is to the north. So a man passed by and he saw the people offering Fajr prayer headed to the north. So immediately, he told them while they were praying, it was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ that the Qibla has been changed and now it is to Mecca. Immediately, the Imam who was in the front, and they're all facing north, they switched to the other side, it's 180 degrees, and facing the Kaaba. The Imam now is in, he's in the back. And the worshippers are in the front. They continued or completed their prayer, and that was the last prayer to be prayed to the direction of Jerusalem. Now, a lot of the people said, this is changing their religion. They don't know this, they don't know that. As Muslims, we believe that abrogation is part of our religion. The Jews don't believe in abrogation at all. So they reject all kinds of abrogation to us. We could care less. As Muslims, we know that Allah Azza wa Jal reveals rulings and verdicts according to the people's level of thinking, and then he abrogates it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because now they are prepared and they are ready for taking the final command. Also from this hadith, we learn that if one person reports something to us, we have to accept it. We don't need to have 2 or 5 or 10 to report a hadith to us to accept. And this is known in the Mustalah al-Hadith and also in Usul al-Fiqh as Khabar al-Wahid, the narration of one. A lot of the schools of thought consider Khabar al-Wahid to be not of strength to initiate something or to prohibit something. They say you cannot make a ruling in Islam by one individual, by Khabar al-Wahid. You need a lot of people so that you can add something or say that this is prohibited or this is part of the deen. And this is wrong. Hadith Umar ibn al-Khattab, for example. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ This hadith was only reported by Umar. So it's considered to be khabar ahad or hadith ahad. Yet it is widely accepted by the Muslims. And likewise, these Muslims who were praying, these companions who were praying in Quba, they accepted the information of one. They did not request a second or a third to confirm. Enough for them to learn, to know that the Prophet was revealed to that Qibla has changed, and it immediately they done what needed to be doing. Also, we learn from this hadith that if you did not know, if you did not have the knowledge, Allah would not hold you accountable. Where did we learn this? These companions initiated and started their prayer to Jerusalem. And in the middle of the prayer, they were told that the Qibla was changed. They did not start another prayer. They continued the same prayer therein. And that is why, if you have a guest in your house and he started to pray Dhuhr in this direction and your Qibla is in that direction, you simply turn him to the appropriate direction and he doesn't have to make the prayer all over again. Because this is what his knowledge and he thought that the direction was in this direction. The following hadith, hadith number 69. Who will read this for us? Yes.
Narrated Anas ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. We went to receive Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu when he returned from Sham and met him at a place called Ain at-Tamr. I saw him offering prayer, riding a donkey with his face to this direction, that is, to the left of the Qibla. I said to him, I have seen you offering the prayer in a direction other than of the Qibla. He replied, if I had not seen Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing it, I would not have done it. Bukhari.
This hadith is in compliance with the previous hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam traveling and offering voluntary prayer while traveling to the other than the direction of the Qibla. And this is what Anas ibn Malik did, and he reported that the Prophet ﷺ also did this. So we learn that when you're traveling and you are praying voluntary prayers, not mandatory, that you do not have to face the Qibla, and you may compromise when it comes to bowing and also when it comes to prostration, because this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to give us the permission to do so. Now, if someone is praying in his house, is it a must for him to pray standing up, voluntary prayers, or can he pray sitting down? Yes, microphone.
For him to stand up.
Voluntary prayers.
Yeah, voluntary prayers.
Yes, in voluntary prayers, it's compulsory for him to stand up. This is not correct. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the prayer of a person sitting down, meaning in voluntary prayers, is half of the prayer of a person standing up. So this means that if I would like tonight to offer 13 rak'ahs sitting down, is this permissible? Completely. It is permissible. But I will get the reward, half of those who pray standing up. When it comes to mandatory prayers, the answer would be no. It is a pillar that you pray standing up. Otherwise, your prayer would be rendered as invalid. We move on to a new chapter, and this chapter is regarding the imamah and regarding the straightening up of the rows. Hadith number 70. Yes, brother.
Narrated Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Straighten your rows, as the straightening of rows is essential for the perfection, that is completeness of the salah."
Now the Prophet ﷺ is not talking to the individuals. He is addressing the masses, in the sense that if you're praying on your own, you don't have a row to straighten. But if you're praying with the congregation, you have to show discipline. You have to show unity, and you have to show that you are complying with the Prophet's sunnah by straightening up the row. And if you refuse to do this, then this would affect your prayer negatively. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.